You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, back again with yet another message keynoting our enemy and its terrible ways. This message, the title of this message is The Fable of the Jews, Part 2. First of all, I haven't mentioned this in almost 2 months, but I'd like to thank those who have donated. And if you wish to donate, you can go to my site, davidjamesboston.com, and there's a donate link right on several pages of my site. And if you donate $20, you can get a free album. If you donate $35, you can get 2 free albums. And if you donate $50, you can get 3 free albums from my site. I would like to thank the Father, and I think we all should be giving thanks to the Father continually. As I told you, sometimes when you pray, you should just pray giving thanks to the Father. It's very important, and it's very instrumental in how He will respond to you because of it. You see, if you're unthankful, Yahweh won't respond to you the same way people won't. If there's anything I don't like, and I'm sure Yahweh is the same, is if when you go out of your way to help somebody, or you're just helping somebody because you love your brothers and sisters and they don't thank you, it's a little offensive. Now, you're not helping them so you get thanks. It's just a rudimentary thing. It's a pleasantry when you did something for somebody and they appreciated it. That's all. And I'm saying that the same for Yahweh. That you might be praying to Him continually, asking Him for things and asking Him for this and that, and can He do this for you and can He do that for you? But take a prayer session and just give Him thanks for all that He has done in the past, for all that He is doing in your life now, and for all that He will do in the future in your life. Just give thanks. Don't ask for anything. It's very important. I'm telling you, it's very important. I wish to thank Him right now. I'm making a series of videos on my YouTube site called Yahweh's Birds. I love the little birds out there. Very interested in them. Love to watch them as they interact with one another. And Yahweh gives me gifts in many ways. He's really blessed me lately. I won't go into the whole situation, but he's blessed me. But, you know, extra things like, I was recording the birds yesterday, and some species showed up that I didn't expect to show up. And to me, that was a blessing. I saw a red-bellied woodpecker. And I mean, this is a big bird, you know, not huge, but I mean, for a woodpecker, usually I saw both the, yesterday I saw both the downy female and the male, which are smaller birds compared to this red-bellied woodpecker. And what's very funny about the thing is it has a stripe of red on its head, but I don't see anything that's red on its belly. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting how they name some of these birds. But also, another gift was the mockingbird showed up. And the mockingbird is one of the most talented birds that he has ever created. And there was a humorous situation where there were two balls, where you put the seed in these balls and they hang down and the birds can hang on, you know, upside down on them and everything else. And I also have some suet that's above one of the balls. You'll see on the video if you go to watch it. And I put it, I think, first in the video because I started laughing so hard. The mockingbird jumped up. And then he went over to the ball, and he had one foot on one ball, and he had a foot on the other ball, and he's trying to peck at the suet. And the other ball behind him kept turning, so he had to keep adjusting his foot. It was very, very humorous to see. And then finally he got a hold of one of the parts of the hanger, and he just stayed like that, you know, with one foot on one ball, one foot on the other ball, and he has his stability so he could eat. So he figured out the next time he showed up that he wouldn't do that little acrobatic act. He jumped up on top of the suet thing and started pecking at it from on the top. So birds can learn too, you know. Birds learn things as from experience. But it was really humorous to see it. Anyway, let's get on with our message. But I would suggest that you definitely thank the Father. So, remember last week we went through several things and learned several things about the fables of the Jews. So I figure we'll go through some more of the fables of the Jews. And the next one is, the Jews are a persecuted people. Now, you can see that they try to act like anything, even if you mention their name, you're persecuting them. So part of their act is that they are persecuted. But in reality, they are the persecutors. They are the accusers. Have they always been persecuted? Is that true? Or is this another Jewish fable? Well, of course it's a Jewish fable. Yes, they were thrown out of the countries of Europe 109 times, I believe it was, 109 times. And why were they thrown out? Were they thrown out because they were God's chosen people? Well, number one, they're not God's chosen people. So that's laughable right there. No, why they were thrown out is because wherever these people go, they become a nuisance. They steal people's money. They steal people's land. Charge usury. They've been caught poisoning wells. They do Jewish child murder sacrifice. And they drain the blood from a child from whatever country they're in. And they pass the blood around to each other. You say, oh, that can't be true. Oh, really? I think you better do a little bit of studying there, sonny boy. There's been many books written about it, historical events about it, and it is true today as it was yesterday. These people haven't changed. They've been doing these horrible things that they have done to all of the nations of the world that they've been in all through the times. This is nothing new. And if you study into it, you will be shocked. But at least if you study into it, you'll know that it's true. Now, it sounds funny to you, but you see, they don't have the life force in their blood and in their bone marrow. That's why they have to race mix. And they've always had to do this because they don't have that life force. So they believe that if they drink the blood of our children, the Israelite children, that they actually sustain their life somewhat. Because our blood does have the life force. But as I've said before about that Jews, and you probably are listening, Yahweh revealed something to me that I think is very interesting, and I thought you Jews ought to know about it. You know, when you're drinking the blood of those children, did you know that when Yahweh talked to one of your forefathers, and your forefathers were just liars like you are, and he said, "Where is thy brother?" And he said, "What am I, my brother's keeper?" But see, the blood of his brother, half-brother, that he killed, the blood was crying out to Yahweh from the ground. So, when you drink the blood of our children, that blood is crying out from with inside of you to Yahweh. I think you ought to think about that for a little while before you drink any more blood. Now, they go into countries and they agitate the populations until they kick them out. You know the story of the duck and hens, and that's exactly what happens. For some reason, we don't kill you people. We were told to kill you, but for some reason, we just don't do it. Instead, we eject you from our nation and into one of our brother's nations. And then you do right to the next nation what you did to our nation. And pretty soon some of you are back in our nation again. So this is a race. They can't help themselves. It's in their DNA to be evil. They lie, they cheat, they murder, they agitate, they usurp, they cause trouble, and so they're kicked out of nations. You see, if you keep poking a stick into anybody long enough, sooner or later they will attack. And these Jews can't help themselves. You know, even when they have it good, and they've got the Social Security scam, and they've got the Wall Street scam, and they've got the IRS scam, and they've got all these scams that they got going on, the central bank scam, it's not good enough. Their problem is they don't know when they have a good thing going for them, and they keep poking the stick. And poking the stick and requiring more tax money through their false tax system and requiring more of this and more of that and more and writing laws that on somebody else's country that don't belong on somebody else's country. They have no right to write laws in our country. We don't want them here in the first place. You hear that, Jews? We never wanted you here in the first place. You came in here. We don't want you here now either. Then they bring in their organizations like the ADL to destroy Christianity and to destroy the culture. But they never know when they have it good, it's just not good enough. If they own all the businesses because they stole the businesses through the central bank by writing money out of air and giving it to their people to buy up all these entities while they can't be audited for it. But it's never good enough. Always more. We've got to go to war. Now, you can see what's agitating all of our countries now is they're making, in America, they are making our young people go to war, and they are culling the flower of each generation. And if they don't get killed by war, they'll make sure that they'll inject them with some kind of a substance that will destroy them, or destroy their mind, or destroy their body. So if they were to outlive the war, they'll destroy them in another way. And then when they come back, they won't take care of them, because every deal that they do is bogus. Now, these military men and women go to do the job that they swore to do, and the Jew tells him he's going to pay him money, and they're going to have benefits when they come back. But what happens when you come back, dear soldiers? Oh, we've got to take your gun rights away. You lived through it? Well, we gave you some nice injections, experimental injections, so that you're going to be screwed up and die prematurely, because we want to ensure, we as the Jews want to ensure that we're killing off the flower of each generation. Then they can no longer mate. And in the background, we're brainwashing the next generation here and turning them into mental midgets and liberal retards. So, the Jews are not a persecuted people. They persecute all the peoples of the nations that they're in. It's a lie that they're a persecuted people. It's another thing where they told you that their feelings were hurt. Their feelings. I don't care about Jewish feelings. I don't care about Negro feelings. I don't care about liberal feelings. Those days are over. For me personally. Because I'm not going to respond to that anymore. You can jump up and down. You can yell until you're blue in the face. I don't care. That's all you do when it comes down to trying to face the truth. You know you can't answer to the truth. And that's what this yelling and, oh, my feelings are hurt, and jumping up and down is all about. Because you can't beat the truth, sonny boy. You can't beat the truth. And so you're afraid, and this is the only way you can deal with it. My feelings are hurt. Jump up and down, scream at the top of your lungs. Racist, racist, oh yeah, shut up. Okay, so let's go to the next one, because I'm not going to waste any more time with the persecuted people nonsense. It's nonsense. It's a fable of the Jews. Next one. I've discussed this before, but we'll discuss it again for those that don't know any better. Now, you see, the Jews are flooding our nations with all these illegal immigrants, which Yahweh does not want. And they claim that they need a multicultural society to be able to live in our countries. Yes, but there's a problem with this. When it comes to living in the country they stole, which they don't have full control of, even after 68 years now, almost 68 years, they say they can't have any multiculturalism there because they're a pure race. There's another lie, another fable of the Jews. I told you previously about the Jews are a persecuted people. I told you that they have to race mix because they don't have the life force in their blood and in their bone marrow. They have to race mix, or the race will stagger and die. If they were to do what they are saying and actually not race mix at all, the Jews are not a race. They're a mongrel group of people. They're a bunch of races all mixed into one. It's a big mongrelism. So that right there tells you that the Jews are not a pure race and that that is another fable of the Jews. But let's just say, you see, what happens after time after in these Mongol races is the next generation, they revert back to the Canaanite or the, you know, the crook nose and all that kind of stuff. Yahweh put that in their blood system so that it would be that way. So that if they race mixed, yes, for the next, you know, generation, they can look like the person they race mixed with, but the next child that is born will eventually revert back to what they originally were. It's a beautiful thing that Yahweh did this. So what I'm saying is, if we took them all and put them on an island and didn't let them off, not only would they kill themselves because of who they are, but the race would stagger and die. The mongrel, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call it. You know, it's not a race. It's just the people would stagger and die. Whatever you want to, however you want to term it. So they say that over there in Israel, they can't take any immigrants in because they have to keep themselves pure and separate from all the rest of the world. Now, this is a play on one of their other fables, and they're just doing this to act out the part that they are God's chosen people, because that's what Yahweh tells us to do, who are truly God's chosen people. Not to mongrelize, not to race mix, but to keep ourselves pure. You see how the deception is done? Can you see it? As I speak it to you, is it making sense to you? Now, they can have all kinds of mongrels in our countries, but they can't have it in well, if you want to call it Israel, whatever you want to call that. It's the fake Israel. They can't have him there. See, they race mix with all these people. They race mix. Most of these mestizos are all Jews because they race mix with those people down there. They've race mixed with blacks. They've race mixed with whites. They've race mixed with Chinamen. There's Chinese Jews. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there are. So that is another fable of the Jews. The Jews are a pure race. That's a lie. It's bogus. And if you believe it, you're a sucker. A pure race, my goodness. Okay, let's go on to the next one. All races are equal. Now, this is told to us by the Jews, but I want you to, there's a little quirk with this. all races are equal, except the Jews. They're the superior race. Sound like Animal Farm to you? Some of us are more equal than others. But let's talk about the races being equal. Okay, when it comes to IQ, we've seen many articles and scientific studies that have shown that an environment is not, is, has about 5% to do with how intelligent you are. That it's genes that determine intelligence. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to keep telling you this, and you'll find out it's true. The only race that was a legitimate race called a man is the white race. All other races were always known as subraces throughout the history of the world. This, you want some proof of that? Well, I mean, the Constitution. They said that anybody else was 3/5 of a man. But not only that, blacks and Jews were not allowed to be citizens. Never mind the rest of the subraces. You understand what I'm telling you? Now, that doesn't mean as whites we should walk around saying we're superior. That's not the point. We are the offspring of Yahweh, which naturally puts us in a certain position. We are the only race that is able to tend the garden of the world. If it were not so, Yahweh would have not needed to put us here. We happen to be in the time of Jacob's trouble right now, and you will understand this soon, why we are not tending the garden like we should be, why the yoke has been taken off of, Jacob's yoke has been taken off of Esau's neck, the Edomites, the Jews, because Edomites are in modern Jewry. Edomites have always been the enemies of the Israelites. So, therefore, that proves to you also that the Edomite Jews cannot be the Israelite Jews. Do you understand? So, in these studies, it is proven over and over again that IQ comes from DNA. And I have spoken about how I've seen all the other races. I've noticed something about all the other races, okay? Now, the Asians are very intelligent. And they probably are a second tier. They're over the other races, like the Muslims or the Jews or the blacks, or the mestizos, or whatever you want to call them. Why do I say that? Or the Indians from India. These people are no better than animals. They poop all over the place. Do you know what I mean? They don't go to the bathroom in bathrooms. They have the technology to do this, but can't be trained to do it for some reason. They are known in the Bible as beasts of the field, beasts with two legs. Not all beasts of the field have four legs. Well, we know that anyway with gorillas and chimpanzees. But these are the facts. If that hurts your feelings, I don't care. I'm presenting you the facts. This is not a debate. I'm telling you what's true. Go and find out for yourself if it's true. Now, the black race to prove that this is a another. See, what this is for, the purpose of this fable is to bring the whites down and bring all the other races up, but also elevate the Jew over all races. That's what the purpose of the fable is. They believe by environment that if you brought... See, they don't tell you this, but they say, well, if we bring all these other races in your country where you're smart, and the only reason why you're smart is because you've had this environment, whitey, see? And so basically if we bring all these other races in your environment, they'll just catch right up to you and they'll be, they're equal to you in intelligence, no problem at all. Well, let me tell you a little truth about that. Here's what happens in reality. So the Jews are trying to tell you that by environment, not by DNA, but by environment. This is an age-old argument, and they presented this during a Three Stooges episode. I learned that through reverse engineering. So what they've done is they've said that just by bringing these people into your environment, your privileged environment, they will be equal to you. But ladies and gentlemen, it is just not so. It doesn't work that way. Want me to tell you how it really works? And this is true. I'm telling you it's true. I guarantee you it's true. I'll prove to you it's true. When we bring them into our environment, and the Jews know this, when we bring them into our environment, the result is not that they get smarter, but the result is we all get dumber. Because now we have to reduce tests because they can't pass the tests, and we have to make it appear that they're really learning and make it appear that they're really graduating. It's affirmative action. And make it appear that they're really doctors and lawyers. Oh, yes, Obama and his boyfriend, Michael, they're both lawyers, and they've both been kicked off being lawyers. They're both barred. Yeah. And then you have Ben Carson, the brain surgeon, the one who's running for politician. I mean, he's definitely of presidential caliber, for sure. And he left a sponge in a brain in somebody's brain after he did the brain surgery on him. And he's left a trail of paralyzed and hurt patients. So out of his ego, which is all air, he said, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. Quit being a surgeon. Look into it for yourself and you'll find out it's true. He's left a trail of patients, hurt, injured, for life. This is, how would you like to have your brain surgery done by this, just so we could say we have a black doctor? Would you like that? How about some of you liberal politicians? Why don't we have Ben Carson do your surgery on your brain? I mean, after all, we're all equal, right? It just doesn't work that way. Let me explain to you something about the blacks. Now, before I go on, let's prove it again. Let's prove what I just said, that when we bring them amongst us, instead of them coming up to our level, we start decreasing in level. Well, that's a fact in America. I mean, you all know that we've spent more than any other country on education. By rights, we should be the smartest people in the world. Yet America happens to be not very intelligent anymore. Now, let's look at Sweden. This just came out recently. Very intelligent nation. Since they've brought these people in to their nation so that they could be in their white privileged environment, Sweden, the IQ of Sweden is going down. rapidly. You see, it just doesn't work. These Jews promote communism. These Jews promote equal races. They promote that the UN will bring peace to the world, etc., etc. They don't work. They can't work. They never will work. Multiculturalism, it can't work. Oh, yes, there's a few people that will live with it until they get killed, and then they'll understand, oh, geez, I had no idea that they hated me like that. But then it's too late. So, do you understand what I'm telling you? Look into it for yourself. I was having a call with Paul English, and we were discussing this very thing, and that's when I realized it in the call, that that's exactly, as I was talking about it, it just dawned on me that's what happens. So when we bring them into our nation to elevate them, we de-elevate. We go down. And yes, they may come up a little bit, but we go down. So is it worth us going down so that they can come up a little bit? Now, what else about these races? Let's look at the black race, as I said, okay? What kind of people are they as a race? You have blacks that believe that they are the Israel of the Bible. And I think it's very humorous because all I would have to say to them is, well, you do agree that the seed of Abraham was to be a blessing to all people, correct? And I don't think that they could refute that. they might try, but you can't refute that. And the next thing I'd ask them, well, have your people been a blessing to all nations? Have your people been a blessing to any nation is the question that follows that up. And have your people been a blessing to your own people? Would be the question that follows that up. Now, I'm not trying to be on the blacks' case, but I'm just telling you how it works out. You're aware that we built up Haiti several times to try to give them the environment to grow in so that they could become elevated. When we left them to themselves, they regressed right back to the jungle, right back to voodoo, right back to all the things they get themselves involved in. Now, this has happened in South Africa. This has happened in many cities in America, including Detroit. Have you ever seen a black politician that has really been successful? Well, Marion Barry was. He was successful at snorting cocaine. And they're putting up some kind of a statue in Washington, D.C. That was about as good as he could get at it. Now, when we look at the case of South Africa, and there's other places as well, Jamaica, and so on and so forth, but let's look at South Africa. Okay, the Jews, through the ANC, a communist organization, convinced the blacks, through people like Nelson Mandela, who is a communist, black, that it's time to give that southern tip of Africa, and really it's not back to the people because they weren't living there in the first place. But let's just say it's time to turn over the government over to the blacks in South Africa. And when this happened, what has happened since? Did the you know that the beaches and you know that the cities of South Africa. Absolutely stunning. Gorgeous. Built by whom? You know who. The true Hebrews. Hebrew means colonizer. The white men. You know, Barack Obama hates colonizers. Do you get it? See, Jews aren't Hebrews. Whites are Hebrews. Whites are colonizers. The Jews did not build South Africa. Whites did. But let's look at the condition of it now. King Zwelithini of the Zulu tribe is now turned against the communist ANC because he sees it for what it is. It doesn't work. Like I told you, it doesn't work. Communism does not work. It's a fable. Another fable of the Jews. You see why they can't tend the planet? Because they're just not capable. They can dress up in suits, try to look as white as a lily, but they can't build nations like we do. They can't tend the garden. They can't issue a proper government. They can't obey Yahweh because they're evil and filthy. You people just don't understand what you're dealing with. That's the problem when it comes to the Jews. They've got you so brainwashed into this Hitler nonsense and everything. And if you mention the word Jew, you're a white supremacist and you're a Hitler and you're a Nazi and you're blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? The National Socialist Movement worked, didn't it, Jew? But your communism doesn't work. So even one of your prototype socialism type things worked in Nazi Germany. Well, it wasn't even called Nazi. It was just called Germany in World War II, Deutschland. We whites have made fools out of you Jews over and over and over and over again. Your time is getting shorter by the moment. So, back over to South Africa. King Zwelithini, in the article, shows you pictures of all the beautiful cities in South Africa. There's so much trash on the streets that you can... I'm serious, too. You can barely see the sidewalk, any part of the sidewalk or any part of the street. They went into a beach one day and they urinated, defecated, left 69 children behind when they went home from the beach that day. Does that sound like they're equal to you, dear white man? Or even Asian? Do they sound like they're equal to you? Now, what this tells me about the black race is there's something wrong right in the black race. There's something very, very wrong with it. And what that is most of us races are progressive. The white race is certainly progressive. The Asian race is intelligent and can copy things and can learn. They're one of the people that can actually learn from environment. But they also have the DNA, and that gives them the strict advantage, really. In other words, we build the cars, we do all this stuff, and then they build cars and sometimes can do it better. You see? And with electronics and things like that, they have smaller hands, so they're able to build things that are smaller, which helps in a lot of cases where you don't want bulky things to carry around, so on and so forth. They're very talented. The Japanese are an extremely talented race. And the Chinese are not equal with the Japanese. there's another case in point that all races are not equal. The Chinese are not even... The Japanese are the closest to the white race that you can be, as far as I'm concerned. China, they can't... They couldn't run the world. China can't even make good products. China's whole system is all screwed up. But however, most races are progressive races, not all races. The black race has a real problem, and that problem is though they can appear like they're progressive, they just revert right back to the jungle. You say that's not true, huh? Well, look at South Africa. Look at Jamaica. Find out about it. Find out about Haiti. And then, if you don't believe me, they're in our environment right now, and they're very unhappy with it. Are you telling me that they're not turning back to the jungle in the cities of America and killing people? They're preying on old women and old people. That's what you do in the jungle, ladies and gentlemen. You see, if you're a lion and you're out hunting, you look for the weakest in the herd that you're after. You know not to go to the top buck. He's very strong. So what you do is you find the weakest one, which would be the easiest for you to prey upon, and you isolate it from the herd and take it down. Well, that's what's happening in America today. They're going into old people's houses, raping old women, stealing their purses, breaking into their homes, killing them, raping them, killing them, and doing all kinds of vile things. And this goes for the women blacks as well. Are all races equal, dear listener? Are you starting to see that maybe there's something wrong with this fable? Okay, how about another happenstance? You saw in Fukushima, Japan, you saw when things went wrong over there that the people were orderly. They weren't breaking windows down and stealing televisions. If they found somebody's item, they'd give it back to them. They'd go out of their way to give it back to them. They're very orderly, a very decent people. Well, what happens when the lights go out in America? Well, the white people don't... I'm sure there's some white person somewhere or something. But I'm talking about, well, what happened during Katrina? Even police officers that were there to help their own people were breaking into stores and stealing televisions and sneakers and all kinds of stuff. When the lights go out, these animals turn into animals, see? So are the blacks equal to the Japanese? No. Simply no. They're the beast of the field, like the Bible says they are, and they've proven it over and over again. Don't be mad at me for telling you that. They've told you that by their actions. Don't be mad at me. I'm presenting you with the facts. I don't care about your feelings on the situation. You need to forget about your feelings. They're just not that important. And my feelings are just not that important. The facts are what's important. We're going to stop this nonsense where you got to jump up and down like an animal and start screaming every time somebody touches your little programming feeling. Tough. You don't like it? I can't help what the facts are. That's the fact. Those are the facts. Why are the streets covered with trash in South Africa? I thought we were all the same. How come their cities aren't clean? How come Detroit is in the condition it's in these days? Is that my fault? It was run by black politicians. The whole city was run by blacks. They couldn't even afford to pay the light bills. A couple of years ago, I remember those stories. Is that Whitey's fault? No, Whitey took off out of there. See, this is what's happening in the world. You don't understand the fables of the Jews. One of the most ridiculous things you could say is that all races are equal. It's absolutely, you can say it, but it just doesn't make sense. And it's not true. It's a lie. It's a fable of the Jews. Let's go on. The UN will bring peace to the world, promises the Jews. Now, in the Congress of Vienna, back around the early 1800s, 1815 or somewhere around there, the Rothschilds wanted to bring in what was known as the League of Nations. And the Tsar in Russia torpedoed it. He said, no way. No way. He knew what it was. He wasn't stupid. And Rothschild at that point, this was the previous generation, not the ones we have around two generations ago, whatever. He said, I'm going to get you and your family. It was about 1815. This shows you how evil these people are and how they never forgive or never forget. So when you hear people say they never forgive or never forget, where did you hear that recently? You ever hear of Anonymous? They say they never forgive and they never forget. Did I just give you a little clue? Also, Anonymous came after Donald Trump. And I told you that anybody that sticks out their head against Donald Trump at this point is telling you that they don't want a great America again, that they don't want an America that's conducive to whites, and that they don't want to turn the immigration thing back, and that they don't want to bring industry back and jobs back into our country, etc. So Anonymous revealed who they really are standing for and who they are by just the statement alone, we do not forgive and we do not forget. You know, for a while I was fooled by them. I thought maybe this might be a good thing. You never know. But it didn't dawn on me until just recently. They played their cards a little too in the open. So the UN will bring peace to the world. So it took around 102 years before the Rothschild family could have their vengeance against the Tsar and his family. And they killed all of them, stole their money, stole the country, and proceeded to murder and murder and murder and murder and rape and murder and murder and starve to death and murder. Finally, in 1942 is when it really came in, but I believe it was officially, and it officially came in. I knew that because I was reading one of the Lucius Trust books by Alice Bailey. And they said right in the beginning of the book that their victory had come through. Now, you remember that the Lucius Trust is out of the UN. It was called Lucifer Publishing Company. So 1945, the UN comes to bring peace to the world. This was the promise of the UN, that there would be no more wars, that they would be the mediator between all the nations of the world. that we would no longer conduct wars in the way we had conducted them in the first World War II, World War I, etc. Now, this is a fable. It's a communist institution, and a communist must always run it, number one. And when you're fighting a war like Vietnam, or you're fighting a war like Korea, and it has, and you're in the UN, if the U.S. is fighting the communist forces, the U.S. general has to report his plans to the UN, which, of course, then turns it right over to the communist general on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been, we have all been played for suckers for too long. The UN, since the UN's inception, and I'll tell you, they spent a lot of time on the sci-fi movies in the 50s, and Batman, the movie Batman, the original one in 66, was all about the UN. They promoted the UN and promoted it and promoted it and said it was the solution to peace. 2001, A Space Odyssey. That was the UN, the monolith. It was also the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil. Yes. These were movies to promote the UN. But since the UN's inception, there have been over 75 wars, probably over 80 wars. I don't exactly know the number anymore. I'm giving you a number I got a long time ago, 75 wars. It's probably around, I don't know, 85 wars. So as you can see, the UN bringing peace to the world is another fable of the Jews. It was put in place by the Jews. It has been promoted by the Jews. And it is another of the many failures of the Jews. They are failures. They cannot tend this planet like the white man can tend the planet. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you'll realize who these Jews are. They can pretend and look like the white man, but they're not the white man. They've even said now, for centuries, for decades, whatever, they've wanted to be white and appear as white and equal to white. And they've got away with it. But now that they've turned all the other races against us, they no longer want to be recognized as white. And that's a fact. See if I'm telling you the truth. You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. So we see just another failure of the Jews. Communism is a failure of the Jews. The monetary Babylonian money system is a failure. Oh, it's a success for them, but it's a failure for all of us. It doesn't work. Turning the government back over to the blacks or black politicians or affirmative action doctors, it's a failure. Failure of the Jews. Let's go on to another, an old fable of the Jews that occurred right around the time they were bringing all sorts of Negroes into our country after Jacob Javits, the Jew, and Teddy Kennedy, whom I'm glad is rotting in hell right now. They changed the laws. The immigration laws. And you notice that this country has been on a spiral downward ever since the mid-60s. Of course, it was on a spiral before that, but the spiral downward was at a much increased rate. It's like I told you, If you bring them amongst us, we go down. The nation was a greater nation. The further you go back in American history, from today back, the greater the nation was. The more people that they keep bringing in through this immigration law, the worse the nation becomes. It's becoming a third world nation. It'd be like you on a team. Let's say you had a football or a baseball team, and the Jews ran your team. Well, before you, the way you ran your team, when it was run by white people, you wanted to have the best kicker you could find. They could kick the ball. You'd want to have the best quarterback you could find. You'd try to find the best available man for every one of those positions to ensure that your team was going to be a top-notch team. That makes sense. That makes pure sense. But let's see how the Jew would run the team. And according to the way we're running America, well, we might keep the quarterback. We might keep the quarterback a white guy and the kicker a white guy. But we're going to begin to bring in people that just have only been playing football for a couple of months. And we're going to try to win the Super Bowl this way. It's just not going to happen. Do you understand? It's just, it's like you're bringing your country down. If you wanted to have one of the things that did happen in America that helped us was after the war, those German scientists were brought into the country. Now that makes sense. That's an improvement of minds. But we're bringing in people that can't speak the language, people that don't have the brains, people that are sick with diseases we've conquered long ago, and on and on. I mean, this is just pure stupidity. And the Jew cannot tend the planet. That's why the Adamic race was placed here. Because only we have the ability to tend this planet. I don't care if you're mad about that. I didn't say we were superior. I said we're the only ones qualified. You would think that the ever-living God who created all things would know who would be able to do that, wouldn't you? So let's look at brotherhood. When's the last time you heard about brotherhood? Now, I've mentioned this before. Back in the 70s, all these Starsky and Hutch programs. Hey, brother. What's up, brother? See, they were touted by the Jews as our brothers. Now, did that work out? Are they our brothers? Let's look at our brothers today. Well, our brothers hate us. And our brothers are killing our people on a daily basis, left and right. Our brothers are raping our elderly women and attacking our elderly people, the weakest of our race. Does that sound like they're our brothers? Our brothers live on welfare. Oh, yes, they claim they're the best race. But they're not too proud to take our money and live for free and get away with doing nothing. But when they're bored, they can, you know, commit some crime against us. Now, this is not only against Yahweh, and this is what the Jews always do, is he said, if you don't eat, you don't work. I mean, if you don't work, you don't eat. But the Jew says, oh, no, 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 no. We'll just give him money and he can live off this system for the rest of his life. And his parents and Everybody else can live off of it too. And of course, they are the best race. We all know that. And they're not too proud to take money, though, for doing nothing. See, they have no conscience. They're like an animal. They don't even know. They probably don't even know that it's wrong to do that. You know, animals of the field have more sense and more decency than those people. So brotherhood was another fable of the Jews. Bye-bye. You no longer hear about that brotherhood anymore, do you? Just wanted to remind you about it. Okay, next Jewish fable, the choice of democracy. We now, through the Hegelian dialectic, have literally a one-party system controlled by the Jews, the country is actually controlled by the Jews through the central bank. So politics is a mere formal thing that they mentioned in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, that they would let you think you were electing people. But you're not electing anybody. There's really no choice. It's like this. What choice is, ladies and gentlemen, is, say, if you go into a supermarket and there's thousands of products on the shelves, you can choose the ones you want. But in this scenario, most of the choice has been made for you. So you can pick A or B when it really comes down to it. Or let's say you have six choices and then you round them down to two and you make your choice. But they really are elected through false means, especially when you're using electronic voting machines. I mean, come on, let's wake up, will you? Let's go to the next fable of the Jews. And believe me, there are many more fables than I will mention here. Conservative Jews. Now, that's a laughable fable right there. There's no such thing as a conservative Jew. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. Jews do not want to keep our country the way it was. Jews do not want to keep our culture our culture. Jews do not want to keep our country in a pure state that Yahweh wished it to be in. No, 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 no. They're liberals. They always have been liberals, and they always will be liberals. And I mean liberal in a bad term, not in the term of liberty. I'm talking about liberal as in mentally ill, destructive. You understand? I don't think I have to explain too much about that to you, but how did we arrive with conservative Jews? Very simply, when you implement the Hegelian dialectic, this is what happens. Let me just explain it very quickly again. You have a thesis, which in this case would be, say, the Democrats, and an antithesis, which would be the Republicans. These two forces fight one another vehemently. In the process of this fighting becomes what's known as synthesis. They meld together. It comes to the point where there's no difference between one or the other because they've all melded together. Well, we all know, I saw a thing about Patton, General Patton, and he said that something about democracy being vile and that Democrats, liberals, are the lowest form of politician. Well, we all know that the Jews have always been on the Democratic Party up until the recent years. So the two parties had fought against one another, And the Democratic Party used to be for the people many, 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 many moons ago. But that was also destroyed. You see, because the Jews, they would say to you that the Democrats were the party of the people and that the conservatives were the party of the corporations and things and the rich, okay? But who are the corporations and the rich? Why, they're the Jews. So we see in the that the actual corporations and the Jews, the rich Jews, were always in the liberal party. But we also see now that they've transferred, they've become neocons, Eric Cantor, you know, different names like that. And now we have conservative, neocon Jews like George W. Bush and his daddy Bush too. Those are Jews. So you can see that the rich corporate owners always were in the Democratic Party of recent times, and now they're also in the Republican Party. But the Jewish liberals that were always in the party are now transferred over into the Republican Party. So there's really no difference between the two parties. It's really because democracy is the vilest form of government, according to James Madison. And we see the truth of it because now that it is one party, it is just a corridor that takes us only to one place, and that's tyranny. That's why democracy is the vilest form of government. That's why our mercenary, military, Shabbos Goy race traders are sent to other countries to force them into democracy, to force them to have a mechanism known as the central bank. See, you don't have to force freedom on people, do you? I mean, I just naturally want to be freed. And I assume that you do too, dear listener. So I wouldn't have to force freedom upon you. See, what's really being forced is not freedom at all, but tyranny is being forced upon the people. When the American government, which is controlled by the central bank, wants to go into Libya and destroy it, wants to go into Iran and destroy it, wants to go into Iraq and have and places like that. And of course, they will eventually end up in North Korea as well. They say they don't, but they will. What we really want to do is bring a central bank into that country, the control mechanism, because it doesn't matter the form of government. It's the bank that's going to run it. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. Say it again. Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. In other words, the lawmakers just can be bought. Once I have the currency and I have the power to print up money out of thin air, I can buy anybody, I can buy any company, I can buy anything I want. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. How do you think they bought everything up in America? It wasn't because they were the smartest. It was because they're cheaters and liars and deceivers. Why do you think they don't want you to be able to audit the Federal Reserve? Because they don't want you to know that they printed up all kinds of money and bought up all your businesses from you and stole them. Well, that's what happened with Gaddafi. He had his citizens living pretty well down there and was treating them very well compared to the rest of the countries of the world. And the Jews couldn't have it. They went down and stole his gold. Of course, they wanted that. But they wanted to make sure they got that central bank in there. Now we see Iraq today, and they have a central bank in them now. It's called the CBI. And it won't be long before they are in pure tyranny. Oh, they are a democracy that America has forced to be a democracy. Oh, yes, they are. And soon they'll realize that all their wealth has been stolen and that they are now slaves in their own country, like we are. The next, I could go on about that for months. Let's go on to the next fable of the Jews. Jewish philanthropists. Now, these people like to appear to be good. They're the richest men in the world. And they will tell you in their newspapers and their media outlets that they are philanthropists. Oh, David Rockefeller, he's a major philanthropist. But when you look into who they're giving the money to and what the angle is, you will soon find out that they're not giving anything to the white race whatsoever. The country of origin, the country that they're in. Oh, they might have George Soros fund Black Lives Matter. He promises them in Baltimore to pay them to go out and riot in the streets. And they, of course, turn right against us and say, oh, we'll do that. Then he doesn't pay them the money. And they wonder why. They say to themselves, that's Whitey doing that. They don't even know George Soros is a Hungarian Jew. All right, I'll let that one go. You get the point. Multiculturalism, I've already spoken upon it. You see that it does not work. It cannot work, and it will not work. You can't force lions to lay down with tigers. It's just not going to happen. Not for any length of period, anyway. Soon one of them will kill the other. And we see that now in America, do we not? You cannot force people to live together that do not want to live together. The blacks are very angry here. They don't like it here. They hate Whitey now because the Jew has taught them to. And then they've had our mercenary military go over and blow up all these people in the Middle East, all the enemies of the Jews. They weren't our enemies. They were the enemies of the Jews. And now those enemies that hated the Jews all these years now hate us just as much. And so now the Jew, now that the Jew has them hating on upon us, they're bringing them into our country so they can hate on us one on one. No, multiculturalism is another Jewish fable. It can't work. Next Jewish fable. Judaism is a religion. Ladies and gentlemen, Judaism is anything but a religion. I told you it's a political movement. Eli told you it's a mafia. Both of those are true. You know damn right well that Judaism is in the guise of something else. That's not a religion. You know, where you cut up a chicken, swing it around your head with all the blood spurting all over the place, and you transfer your... Judaism is the traditions of men that Yeshua talked about. Judaism is communism, says Rabbi Wise. Or Marxism, whichever you wish to call it. Now, we know that if Judaism was a religion, and if they admitted it themselves that Judaism is Marxism or Judaism is communism, and this is a rabbi, one of the high-profile rabbis of his time, I'll explain it to you. If Judaism is communism, communism has no God. It's the opposite of of capitalism. In other words, there is no God. The God is the state. And you either live for the state, you have no family either. The state is your family. The state is your mentor. The state is your God. The state is your... See, there's no real God, though. In other words, the Jew becomes your God. Communism is your God. So that proves to you it's not a religion. Because communism is anti-religious. But these people are anything but priests. Unless they are priests of Baal, priests of Satan, priests of deviltry. But it's not a religion. That's another fable of the Jews. They don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. No, 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 no. They just say they do. Now, I don't know what it's going to take to get this through your head. So that's another fable of the Jews. How about the stock market is safe? Jews control the stock market. They orchestrated and have orchestrated several things, including the 1929 crash of the stock market. And whenever there's a crash in the stock market, or one of these blips like in 2008 or whatever it is, there is a transference of wealth. And I can assure you that the transference of wealth will not be to you as a Caucasian, unless it was by accident or some kind of miracle, unless you're a Shabazz Goy race trader and they're going to allow you to win with them. But the transference of wealth has always gone towards the Jews. The stock market is rigged, like boxing is rigged, etc. Another fable of the Jews. The Talmud, next fable. The Talmud is a holy book. I suggest that you find out and acquire. If you listen to my series, The Miscreants, what was it called? Something about the Miscreants. Factoids of the Miscreants. It's about a 5-part series. I suggest you listen to that. You'll hear plenty on what's in the Talmud. The Factoids of the Miscreants, Saxon's Creed Radio Show. Some of the things that you would see in this Talmud are that Jesus Christ is a bastard and that Mary, his mother, is a whore and that he is sitting in a cauldron of excrement in hell forever because of claiming that he was the Son of God. And it also talks about, and I mean, this is just, I mean, this isn't even touching the tip of the iceberg. This is like just minuscule compared to what's in here. It's okay to have sex with a 3-year-old girl and take her virginity because it's like poking somebody in the eye. It'll just come back, you see? The hymen. Yes. Oh, having sex with a young boy is okay, too, in the Talmud. This is why many Jews are homosexuals, because they've been perverted by their parents. Last one I have for you of the Jewish fables. The Bible is Jewish literature. No, 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 no. As I've said many times, Adam was not a Jew. Eve was not a Jewess. Isaiah was not a Jew. Moses was not a Jew. Aaron was not a Jew. Hosea was not a Jew. The Apostle Paul was not a Jew. Jesus was not a Jew. Peter was not a Jew. The disciples were not Jews. And these books were written by Israelites, which I told you that Edom is in modern Jewry, and that the Edomites have always been the enemies of the Israelites. The Bible is Israelite literature, not Jewish literature. Now, there were Jewish scribes that had parts in scribing and translating the book, but it is still not Jewish literature. And just by allowing them to touch it was a bad mistake, because that's where they found out about the blessings that we as Israelites have. And they decided to steal those blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time that you realize. I would go back to listen to the first part of this message so that you get the biblical information on the fables of the Jews. But I would suggest that you begin to think for yourself, that you don't allow your feelings to get in the way of your studies. Forget your feelings. They're not that important as you thought they were. They're not as important as you were told they are. Get down to the facts. The only reason they want to yell and holler, as I told you, is because they cannot refute the truth. The truth can't be refuted, and they know that. Why don't you think they have liberal talk radio? It never works. They can't refute the truth. They always fail. It ought to tell you something. Good God. Thank you, Yahweh, for this message. And may it go far and wide to your people across the world. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.